Good evening. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse, and you are listening to Lehigh Valley Business Beat tonight. The Lehigh Valley is booming, and that's why Business Beat brings you a program keeping tabs on the who, what, when, where, why, and how our area is growing and innovating. I am Sally Hanlon, your host of a program that brings these aspects of our community together for conversations about our Lehigh Valley. And tonight, our program is really for either new businesses or existing businesses, because I sort of titled it, Is There a Franchise in Your Future? We have a guest with us tonight who is perfect for sharing information about franchising, but let me first give you a little bit of information about the franchise environment. According to 1851franchise.com, franchising has become a strong and widespread model for entrepreneurs to do business. Over the years, the industry has continued to grow, but how many franchises are there? The most recent data from Statista shows that the country has boasted an impressive 790,000 plus franchise establishments in 2022. And according to statistics from the U.S. Census Bureau, now this is 2021, but at least 10.5% of all businesses are franchises. So there's an amazing network out there, and there's amazing opportunities, whether you are a startup thinking about going into business, or whether you're an existing business and you're thinking about trying to expand your business. So Pam Bartlett, welcome.
Thank you. Well, nice to be here.
Pam is a IFPG, she can explain that, certified franchise consultant. She has a website called franstrategies.com. She's a certified franchise consultant. Pam, I was looking at your background. It's amazing. And I would just like you to share a little bit of your background with our listeners so they know what kind of skills and experience you bring to the table with the opportunities that you can provide.
Thanks, Sally. So this is my third career, actually. My first career for about 30 years, I was in, it's hard to describe, sales, marketing, working with major retail accounts throughout the country and running their businesses for them within their stores. So from there, I was in an industry that was constantly being downsized and really wasn't sure how to find stability going forward. And I looked into franchising, which I really knew nothing about at the time. This was around 2013, so about 11 years ago. And I ended up, make a long story short, I ended up investing in a franchise. I owned a senior care franchise for 9 years, and I loved franchising. I loved the concept of being on my own, but having that corporate entity behind me. I had come out of corporate America, and I was happy to leave it.
I understand that.
Yeah. Very happy to leave it behind, but I really liked that corporate structure and that support that you get from corporate, but I didn't want everything else that came with it, and that was the beauty of franchising. I didn't have to come up with a concept on my own. When I decided I wanted my own business, I didn't have an idea. So, and I needed to replace a corporate salary quickly.
Ooh, yes.
So those were the, you know, the two big things that I thought, okay, how do I start a business? And I knew not, like I said, I knew nothing about franchising and started to do some research and realized, wow, this is just a great way to be in business for yourself. I didn't want to go through that whole startup period of trying to start from scratch, not knowing what I was doing, developing all the marketing, all the branding, all that. That's done for you.
Yeah. So. And I would imagine the success rate in working with a franchise is a lot higher than if you start from scratch and build your own.
And there are statistics on that, which I can't share comfortably, but I know that there is a much higher success rate with startup franchises than with startup businesses, especially if you look at the first 5 years.
Yeah.
Because you have a proven business behind you. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. It's there. It's all the systems. If you're willing to follow the system, it's much easier to have success.
Well, and I would imagine you don't have to educate the potential target market either. In most cases, it's a known name or a brand that you're working with.
It's often a known brand, so people are happy to see it come into the marketplace. And take, for example, Turning Point in our Saucon Valley. The excitement before that opened was huge, and that's a franchise.
Okay.
And you can't go in there without it being packed. So, you know, you look at things like that where the name gets a reputation in other parts of the country that you can build excitement. Plus, franchise brands are great at pre-marketing before they open. They have all these things that they have already put together for you to acclimate a marketplace to your new business.
Okay.
So even if the brand isn't known in the marketplace, often before the brand opens, the new franchise opens, there's excitement in the area.
Oh, nice. Well, we're going to get into some details, and I would like to have this go into two levels. One is as a franchisee, okay, so if you're a startup and you're considering being a franchisee, and the other, Pam, I'd like us to make sure we cover being a franchisor, the considerations for that. But let's start first for our listeners who are thinking that they might want to go into business. What does it take to become a franchisee? You went through the process. You work with a lot of people. Now, first, how many franchises do you work with?
I represent somewhere over, just over 500 different franchises.
Okay.
And there are probably around 4,000 franchises out there. Not all are created equal. Not all are well-known or successful. But there are a lot that are. And I just want to add to what you said with the statistics earlier. There are about 8 million people that are working in franchises, so employees. So it's a hot, heavy employer.
Okay. All right. So let's pretend, you know, I'm thinking about a business and I'm not quite sure what to do. What should I sort of gather from my prior experience, my skills and abilities? What do I need to do before I can even start to consider looking into franchises?
So you don't have to really even know what you want to do. I highly suggest, and this sounds self-serving, it's not meant to be, work with a consultant. We know the industry. So what I do with my clients is I want to get to know you first, and this is easier for somebody else to understand, you know, what are your goals? What are your personal goals? What are your professional goals? What's your family situation? And then the big one, what is your financial situation? What are your financial needs? What is your financial, you know, what does your liquidity look like? What is your net worth, credit scores? Those kinds of things are very important in it. But it really, it becomes a question of how do you want to live? Do you want to be fully immersed in your business? Are you very hands-on? Or are you looking for something where you can step away a little bit, maybe hire a manager and have more family time or more personal time? So there's no, this is what you need to do or need to know. You just really need to understand, you know, what are you trying to accomplish with your business?
So it's sort of like a self-assessment, really sort of sitting down with yourself and saying, okay, what do I have? What do I have to offer? What do I like? You know, color my rainbow, whatever. You know, really get to know myself, because if you're employed by somebody for a period of time, you've been following them. You haven't necessarily been following your own instincts.
Oh, exactly. And some of it is, one of the nice things about franchising is you don't have to have experience in the industry that you go into, because you're going to be fully trained. It's good to have some business background because you're going to be running a business, but that can be taught as well. So it's really, you know, looking at what, taking a step back and starting over, and not looking at, okay, I did this for this many years, this is what I do. It's more, what do I want to do? What do I like to do? What industry interests me? I mean, I went from working with retailers to senior care.
Okay.
Because at the time when I bought my business, I had just lost both my parents, and my in-laws both had Alzheimer's. So,
oh boy.
Yeah. It was a crazy time.
I guess.
And when I worked with a consultant, and when he presented senior care, it just spoke to me.
Okay.
It's like, but I have no experience. I mean, I don't know anything about, I've been nothing healthcare related. And I had all that training from the franchisor. If you wanted to get into that field from another field without doing a franchise, you'd start at the bottom in an entry-level position with an entry-level pay. So, you know, that's the nice thing about franchising.
Okay. Well, one of the things sometimes that I read, a sticking point, is the franchise agreement, mm-hmm. that not all franchisees really understand what they are getting themselves into. So how do you handle that? How do you guide your potential franchisees?
So I have to be very careful legally what I do. So first of all, I review most of the franchise disclosure documents before I present a franchise, just so I'm looking for red flags. And then I suggest to every single one of my clients that when they are ready to sign an agreement, a franchise agreement, which is reflected in that disclosure document, that a franchise-specific attorney reviews it. And I have a list of attorneys that I refer to. And the reason I say a franchise attorney versus a general business attorney is there are many things that are very standard in franchising that business attorneys are not aware of. So a franchise attorney can review that document and know what can't be negotiated, what maybe could be, and they'd see the red flags. And this is the big one, to me is they will go through all the points of it with that client to make sure you understand what you're agreeing to. Because it's a lot of legalese, and those documents can be hundreds of pages.
Wow. But there is an opportunity, perhaps, to do some negotiating? A little.
It depends.
Okay.
I won't say most franchise agreements are in favor of the franchisor. That's just a fact.
Yeah.
And some of them, if they've been around for, you know, many years, 20, 30 years, they're pretty well set, and there's not much negotiating, if any. If it's an emerging brand, a newer franchise, a lot of them are more willing to negotiate. I actually had placed somebody with a franchise recently, and the franchisor, when they were signing the agreement, said, you know, I suggest you add this to the agreement, which was doesn't usually happen. But
yeah,
I was like, wow, that's great. So,
a little bit of coaching there.
Yeah.
That's great. Wow. Good. So is there ways to look at doing franchises without a consultant, although I wouldn't recommend that, but can people just sort of contact companies and if they want to get more information before they even talk to someone like you?
Absolutely. Any business that is a franchise, most likely, I never like to generalize that much, but will have a tab on their website, their general website, that'll say franchising. And you can reach out to them through there, and I pretty much guarantee somebody will get into contact with you, and you can learn about that specific brand.
Okay. All right. Very interesting. Now, you said that you represent like 400 or 500 What industries have you been engaged with in this representation?
So I represent over 30 industries and another 30 to 60 sub-industries.
Wow.
And I try to stay away from food. That's my least favorite one to deal with. But right now, it's been really interesting post-COVID how some things have shifted. Home service businesses are doing very well right now. So I've been working with a few different ones of those. People were nesting during COVID and wanted to do a lot of renovations or upgrades to their homes. So those businesses, I've spent quite a bit of time researching and sharing with my clients.
Okay.
And the other one, another one that has been big post-COVID is pet care. A lot of people got dogs or pets during COVID, and they put a lot of money into their animals. So that's another industry that's doing very well right now.
Are there franchises, Pam, that one can actually work from home with, or are most of the franchises requiring a space that people can come to? Or
there's a good mix of both.
Okay.
There are a lot of home-based franchises.
Oh.
Quite a few that don't require either a physical office or brick and mortar. And those are a lot less expensive to invest in, typically, because you don't have rent, you don't have to fit out a location or a space, you usually have less equipment. So those are usually very popular franchises right now. A lot of people really do want to work from home and don't want the office space.
Yeah, I would think COVID would have brought that to the surface as well, as because I know that I would never want to go back to an office again. I really enjoy working out of my home and the flexibility.
Yeah, and that's one of the nice things about owning a franchise is you are the boss. So in many cases, people will hire a manager to run the business and they'll run it part-time. And they'll manage the manager. And then they have a lot of flexibility and free time, either with their family or to get out and network and grow their business or just all different kinds of things that you can do when you find that time.
Wow. Listeners, this is exciting. And we're just halfway through the program. So we're going to take a short break right now. You're listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse with our guest, Pam Bartlett, who is a certified financial background coming in, a certified franchise consultant. She's also an author. We're going to talk about that. And we have been talking about the possibility of starting a business through franchising.
Thank you to the members of WDIY for making all the programming you hear possible. Becoming a WDIY member is the best way to support your listening and to ensure WDIY will be here for the next person in our community to discover. Make your membership gift today at 610-694-8100 extension 4 or wdiy.org. We couldn't be here without you.
Welcome back to Lehigh Valley Business Beat. We are talking with Pam Bartlett, certified franchise consultant. And before we went to break, we were talking about franchising as a startup opportunity. On this part of the show, we're going to get more into expanding an existing business through becoming a franchisor. So pay attention, listen up. Before we jump off to the franchisor, Pam, though, I do want to ask you about a person who is thinking about becoming a franchisee, how they can evaluate which franchise they might want to look into? Are there some research things that they can do? Are there some things that they need to know from a financial basis? You know, because whether you're starting as a sole proprietor, a licensee, or a franchisor, there's costs. So could you just do a little bit about that? Then we'll go into the existing business opportunities.
Sure. So as far as researching franchises on your own, first of all, go to the brand's website, and they'll have a tab that says franchising or franchise, and click on that. Sometimes you'll get a lot of information, their information on their brand, on what makes them valuable, on how they, you know, what they do for their franchisees. They're trying to sell their brand. And also, some of them will sometimes put the numbers onto their website so you can see exactly what it costs to get into a franchise, which, just for a second, just to tell you, when you invest in a franchise, there's a couple things. First of all, every franchise has a franchise fee up front. It's a one-time payment that you'll pay to get into their system, to get your onboarding training, to get access to their trademarks, and those kinds of things. And then there's your startup costs, which is whatever, you know, it's going to talk about any equipment you need. If it's brick and mortar, it's going to have your lease in there. It's going to have any, if you need trucks or cars or anything you need, is going to be in those startup numbers. And that can be a whole range. They give you a low and a high. So you really need to understand what those numbers look like and then look at your own finances and think, all right, if I do that, do I have enough additional capital to run the business until I can cash flow it? So you really want to look at those numbers, understand your own personal financial situation, and see if that makes sense.
One of the things when I was at the Small Business Development Center we used to share with startup businesses is you should have at least 6 months of capital available to keep you sustained. And I would think it'd be at least that as well with a franchise. So not to put into the business, but really just to keep the home running.
Yep, you need your operating capital and you need to support yourself, exactly, your personal financials. So you need to understand, sometimes people have a second income with a spouse that's still earning, and that can cover your personal expenses. Sometimes you've got it, you've got to capitalize your business enough to be able to pay yourself a salary and cover your expenses.
And if you have to go for financing with the franchise, does the franchisor usually help you with it, or are you on your own as a franchisee?
So depends on the franchise. Okay. Some of them do have some financial help. Some of them either, very few do in-house lending, but some of them have lending partners. Mostly you're on your own, but there are several funding organizations that are really familiar with franchising and work exclusively in that space.
Okay.
And I usually will refer out to those places because they understand franchising. They understand that if you have a 401k, you can invest that in a franchise without a tax penalty. So it's very specific to the startup industry, which most banks don't know about.
Okay. Good to know. So let's flip the switch. Let's go to, I have an existing business, and I'm thinking it's a really great idea that I'd like to have other people do the business, but I don't want to own all the locations that I maybe want to expand into. So what should I be considering if I'm thinking about taking a business to a franchisor level?
So there's a few things you want to think about. Number one, we always talk about in my industry, proof of concept. So if your business idea, if you're 1 month into it, you don't have proof of concept.
Right.
If you're 6 months into it, you really don't have proof of concept. So I think you need, I mean, a year in business to me is not much, but you really need to prove that your business is viable. I always set a standard that if your owner can't generate personal income of at least $100,000 minimum, it's probably not a viable business because people are going to make a big investment. And that, you know, their franchisees make a lot more than that. But to me, that's, you know, that's kind of the floor.
Okay.
You know, are you able to replicate it? Can you train somebody to do what you do? Can you put systems in place that will make it easier for your franchisees to learn and run their business? Your role changes when you become a franchisor. You're no longer the business owner running your day-to-day business. You are now in charge of the success of whoever comes in under you as a franchisee. So you need to be able to put systems in place and be able to train on those systems. You need to have an infrastructure that will support a growing franchise business. But the nice thing is you're growing your business with other people's money.
Well, that's true, growing that. But then you still have management responsibilities because you got to keep track of.
And you're accountable to your franchisee. So it's no longer just you and your business. If you mess up, oh, it's your problem, then it trickles down. And so you really have to know what you're doing. You have to be very comfortable in what your business can do and can't do. You have to create system standards so that the brand is consistent throughout the country wherever it lands. So there's a lot of work to do, and there are companies that help you do that.
Okay, so there are companies that would look at your business and help you decide whether or not it's something that is has franchise potential?
Yeah. They will also, I mean, there's legal aspects that you need to do to become a franchise. Getting that disclosure document and franchise agreement that we were talking about earlier done is not a small thing to do.
I guess not, yeah.
Disclosure documents, they all have 23 items, and they're all the same, but the content is different. So they can be up to 200-300 pages. And then you also need to have a very specific operations manual that is point by point in how to run the business. That's usually in a 4-inch binder when it's printed out. The companies that I work with that help people franchise get that done for you, with you. And you also, if you're going to become a franchise, you want to make sure you're getting franchisees. So you want to make sure that you have it saved enough money to launch properly. You've got to be able to get the legal work done, the FDD, the operations manual. And then you want to be able to market enough to get your franchisees.
Okay.
Because you're going to spend a lot of money to become a franchise, and it's not Field of Dreams. If you build it, they don't just come.
As with most things. I mean, that movie sort of got us all sort of turned around.
It's not true.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I know I had considered when I had my store was licensing. Now, I know that that's not an area that you deal with all the time, but that seems like another route that someone could expand their business, maybe not with all the bells, whistles, strings, and manuals.
Well, I think that licensing is a great way to get known graphics and designs and brands into other businesses. So, for example, like when I worked for Daytimers, we had a license with a company called Flavia. So they were Daytimer products with our branding on them, but they also had the Flavia branding and all their colors and designs and prints and things that we were licensed to use. A lot of restrictions on how it's used, but a lot less complicated than a franchise structure.
Okay. So a lot less structure, so there's a lot more flexibility for the person that's the licensee, but then you have less control as the person, as the business giving the license.
Other way around.
Oh.
As a licensor, you have full control over what gets, everything we did had to get approved before we could put it in the marketplace.
Okay.
So as the licensee, you are very strict guidelines on what can be put out there.
Okay.
I mean, think about like all the college logos. Those are all licensed things. You would never see like a Penn State logo that didn't look like a Penn State logo.
Right. Interesting. Well, I know when I had my store, I had mugs from all the colleges and things like that. And I had to go through some hoops to be able to even sell them. I wasn't producing them, but sell them in my store. So interesting. Now, Pam, I know that you have done some work around the Valley with sharing small business resources that are open to anybody, any business or anybody thinking about business beyond just, you know, franchising.
Right.
So you're involved with SCORE,
yes.
And you've done some presentations for others. Can you share with our listeners some of the other resources that you're familiar with just for small businesses in the Lehigh Valley?
We have an amazing entrepreneurial ecosystem in the Lehigh Valley. And I am passionate about sharing that information because I think some of it is our best kept secret. So you mentioned SCORE, which is free business mentoring, which I am a part of that organization. You can be at any stage of your business and SCORE, you can get a SCORE mentor to help you along the way. And you can keep that work with them as long as you want or as short a time as you want. You mentioned the SBDC, the Small Business Development Center out of Lehigh University. That's another great resource. If you're researching starting up, you have questions, they can help you find financing and different things. They don't finance you, but they have resources for you. Speaking of financing, we have Rising Tide in the Lehigh Valley.
Yes, we do.
Which, for people who have difficulty getting traditional loans, it's a great organization. And then they help you and they train you along the way. Our colleges, we have, I think, 7 or 8 colleges and universities in the Lehigh Valley. We have Northampton Community College, which has programs for the community. We have 1 Million Cups, which is a phenomenal national networking program out of Northampton, the Southside campus. Lots of great networking in the Valley. Penn State is a land-grant campus, so they give a lot back to the community and have a tremendous amount of resources for entrepreneurs at all stages. I can go on for.
I've seen your list, and I know that LehighValley.org, which is the website for the Economic Development, Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation, has an entrepreneurial tab, and they have a schematic that I know that you
I
have
love that.
You have gone through and you've shared with a number of people. But if you are thinking about small business and you're thinking about what resources, who can I go to? I mean, obviously, we've got this show that you can listen to, but we have got so many other resources in the Valley. It's just incredible.
I think that schematic that you're talking about, it's an interactive map that you can click on each of the little points on it, and it'll pop up that organization and what they do. So anybody who's looking for resources, that's a great place to start.
Okay.
Because it shows you all the education, funding, nonprofits, SCORE, SBDC, all those resources are all on there. You can just click through and find what will help you. There's also startup makerspaces available in the Lehigh Valley. A lot of people don't realize, you know, that there's inexpensive places where you can kind of incubate your
mm-hmm.
project.
Mm-hmm.
We just have so much here.
Yeah, it's a little overwhelming, but
we are so fortunate.
Yeah. One of the things I mentioned in introducing you is also that you're an author. So can you share with our listeners your book and a little bit about it?
So my book is called Frankly Franchising, Demystifying Franchising to Find the Right One for You, the Right Business for You. I find when I start to work with my clients, most people do not understand franchising. And why would you? If you've never had to be involved in a franchise, why would you understand how it all works? So before I work with people, I'll ask them what they know and want to make sure that they're educated before we start down this path. And I found that handing them my book is the easiest way to do it.
Yeah.
Because it's very simple. It's 40 pages. It doesn't take long to read, but it explains very succinctly all about franchising, including franchising a business.
Oh, so I didn't know it had that in it, too.
I added a chapter after I had quite a bit of inquiries into getting people franchised. I thought, I need to put that in my book. So
yeah. Great. And where is the book available?
It is available on Amazon.
Okay.
And that's about it.
Well, that's where everything, all books are.
And my backpack, if you see me, I will gladly hand you a copy, and I will happily give people free PDFs. I'm not trying to make money on it. I really want to use it as an educational
tool. Yeah, that's so important, because if you can answer some questions up front, it really limits the frustration level on both sides.
Well, and you can look at it and think, oh, this is perfect, exactly what I want to do, or, this really isn't right for me.
Yeah,
now I know, and I'm not going to waste my time.
Right. Right. So important. So important. So you, again, had mentioned a number of franchises that you work with. Do you have any sort of stories that we could share with our listeners at all about somebody who really got into a franchise and started to explode with excitement and ability, or anything that comes to mind of someone who really, really got the idea of what a franchise is and how a franchisor works? And I'm letting her pause for a few minutes, listeners, because this is I'm catching her completely off guard.
I have to really think about that. I've watched quite a few franchises from a distance you mentioned IFPG, which is the company that's
right.
International Franchise Professionals Group.
Okay.
So we have this huge database, and I have also the resources of my fellow consultants, so we share a lot of information. And I can't say I've seen anything with my clients yet, because I'm still new in this, and they're really ramping up. But I've watched several franchises go from nothing to hundreds of franchisees. For example, there is a mental health franchise called Ellie Mental Health. I don't think we have any here. There's coming, though, because there is such a huge need for mental health services throughout the country, and there is more demand than supply. So they went from no locations to hundreds of locations within a year. And I've seen a few brands that from startup, the concept is so much needed and there's such a void that they've gone from, it's zero to 60 in 1 minute kind
wow.
of thing, that they've ramped up very quickly. And then going back to your question about becoming a franchise, the reason they're ramping up quickly is because they put the dollars into marketing and getting their business out there to find their franchisees. So if you're not capitalized to franchise your business, you won't have that level of success.
Okay, listeners, have we whetted your appetite? Because we've got to close this session of Business Beat, but I think that Pam has given us all a lot to think about, especially if we're thinking about starting a business or becoming a business owner. So, Pam, thank you so much for taking the time to share your information with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's been a pleasure. And listeners, I want to thank you for making time for this conversation, and you can find past episodes and other public affairs programming at wdiy.org and on major podcast platforms. I'm Sally Hanlon, and this is WDIY 88.1 FM. Tune in next Thursday for more Lehigh Valley Discourse, and we'll see you next time on Business Beat.
If you enjoyed this program, please go to wdiy.org or the WDIY app to share or become a WDIY member.